The next case is 04-284, Patricia L. Clark versus James Risco, M.D. Are you Michael O'Rourke?
I am.
Michael O'Rourke. You failed to sign in. You need to always sign in with our clerk's office.
My apologies.
Yeah. Prater? If you need some water, you can. It won't take time off for getting water.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court and counsel, the Fifth District Court of Appeals below imposed primary direct liability on Knox Community Hospital for the alleged negligence of two physicians with whom the relationship with the hospital was that of independent contractor or independent physician. This imposition of liability was created contrary to general agency principles, contrary to existing Ohio law, and without furthering any public policy or any public benefit.
Counsel, your brief on page 5, you make a statement with which I agree. I'll read it to you. The body of law existing among the states regarding hospitals' vicarious liability for negligence of independent physician reveals a great deal of confusion with respect to what legal theories are available and how to apply them or even what to call them. I think that's a pretty good statement. Now, I want to take you through Mrs. Clark's treatment at your hospital. She came there. Did she have the original surgery in 92 there?
The gallbladder surgery, yes, in 1992.
Okay, and apparently the part of the complaint is against the doctor who did that and said he should have discovered the thyroid problem at that time.
Yeah, the surgeon and the primary care physician involved in that time frame were involved, yes.
I want to skip up to, she came in on July 1st of 98. I assume at the recommendation of her family doctor. In other words, a patient, she couldn't just walk into your hospital and say, I want a chest x-ray and get one, right?
It was a different primary care physician, but yes, her family physician had ordered the x-ray.
Dr. Tiedemann.
This was actually Dr. Bowers, a second right. Family physician.
All right. But to get the x-ray, a doctor has to give her a pass to get that.
Write a right? script or make the arrangements, yes.
So. Once she does that, then Dr. Wall read that x-ray.
Correct.
Okay. And how did Dr. Wall come to read her x-ray? How was Dr. Wall engaged to do that?
You mean the process or where it physically went? I mean, you go to the hospital and you have your x-ray taken with the equipment.
I understand that.
The film is then made available to the radiologist. Dr. Wall was one of the radiologists that
had privileges. Did Mrs. Clark choose Dr. Wall?
Mrs. Clark probably at that point in time didn't know anything about who Dr. Wall was.
All right. And Mrs. Clark had no control over the selection of Dr. Wall to read that x-ray. Is that correct?
As I understand it, she didn't attempt to exercise control. Whether she could have or not, I don't think it was an issue.
Well,
she could have possibly selected
I'm asking you, could I'm dealing now with the theoretical here off of your, could she have determined who read the x-ray?
Sure.
That's
I've done that
lot.
As a patient myself.
All right. The primary reading, that's not controlled by the hospital at all.
I personally, as a patient, have asked who's reading x-rays today. When I had a mammogram, I wanted a specific physician, and I got
that
specific
physician. I'm asking
you
about your client. Was it possible at that hospital to have anybody other than Dr. Wall read that x-ray?
I believe so.
Yes or no? You don't know?
I can't say 100%. I believe it to be true. There's more than one radiologist there.
Okay, where did Dr. Wall practice at that time?
At that time, Dr. Wall had at least one office that she could use within the walls of Knox Community Hospital.
All right. And then she's back on September 2nd. Her doctor sends her back to the, Mrs. Clark sends her back there.
Correct.
And of 98. And she has another x-ray, and Dr. Schlesinger reads that one.
Yes.
Same scenario? No.
Same scenario.
The reading of the x-ray is determined. Would the family physician determine who reads the x-ray? That is the referring physician.
I do not believe so. I don't know exactly what he did or did not
do. In other words,
the
hospital makes that determination as to who reads the x-ray.
The hospital does not make that determination. That's based upon the radiologist's schedule, who's working, who's available, and who sees the film. It's not something that the hospital administrator decides for anybody.
Well, but somebody at the hospital decides who gets to read, who's the radiologist coming in. I mean, you just don't have radiologists driving up from Columbus and down from Galleon to read x-rays. The hospital makes a determination as to who gets to read our x-rays.
The hospital has an arrangement with a private corporation to make sure that the radiology department is staffed, and that private corporation employs the radiologist, and they ensure that there is, in fact, a radiologist. They do have to have staff privileges and apply for and be granted the privileges.
Is that an exclusive deal? In other words,
It typically is. I don't know the answer in this case, but typically
that's
yes.
That's what I'm getting at. The hospital enters into an arrangement with a group of independent doctors.
Correct.
Who have the exclusive right to read all the x-rays at the Knox Hospital.
Correct.
During the term of that contract.
Correct.
All right. And then the same would be true in January 27th of 99 when Dr. Spurak reads the same deal.
Same deal.
She comes to the hospital and it's read by somebody that's contracted with the hospital exclusively to read their x-rays.
Third doctor. The contract is with their employer, but yes.
Do those doctors come to the hospital to read those x-rays, or are they shipped out, or?
Generally, they do physically come to the hospital and read them.
You see the problem for a patient?
Well, in this case, one thing that you're missing is that after the x-ray is interpreted, the patient will get a separate bill. The patient may be making some assumption, but there's never anything where the patient is told. They know that they're going to get an x-ray taken. They expect that someone is going to look at it.
And they get a bill from a firm, generally.
From the physician's practice, yes.
Yeah.
Not from the hospital.
Right.
Or at least they do for the hospital for the actual x-ray, but not for the interpretation.
Or their insurance company gets a bill, yeah.
Well, Counselor, did the radiologist communicate directly with the patient here?
I do not know. I doubt it.
Isn't typically the referral is made, the x-ray is read, the report is generated, and then it's returned to the treating or referring physician for conference with the patient?
In general, yes. I know in my personal situation, you can ask to speak to the radiologist. I don't have any personal information to know that she did that in any of these cases.
The radiologist report.
Yes.
Goes, as Justice O'Connor indicated, to the physician that sent Mrs. Clark to the hospital, presumably.
At a minimum, to that one physician.
But the original of that report goes where?
The original, the one that is created?
Yeah.
Presumably with the patient's actual x-ray films that are maintained in the radiology department at the hospital?
At the hospital.
So that's where the records are kept, since the actual film was taken on the radiology equipment at the hospital.
Okay. Now, we don't have it in this case, but there's certainly been plenty of articles recently about outsourcing the reading of a variety of things to India. What's a patient to do if they come to a hospital in Ohio for tests that their doctor has referred them to, and the reports are read by someone who's presumably licensed in that country that isn't even licensed to practice in this state, and it turns out it's a bad reading?
How are they to seek redress?
Yes.
Well, presumably, and I'm not familiar with the exact nature of the Indian situation, there would have to be some sort of means to attach that independent physician to be able to pursue an action against them.
Okay.
Exactly how to do that, I can't answer that.
But isn't that the unsatisfactory dilemma, and why a single rule just doesn't fit the modern day practice of medicine and doesn't fit patients who go to a hospital, and you give up your dignity and a lot of other things when you go to a hospital, and people make judgments that the patient relies on about their conditions and their problems that are never employed by, never seen by, never known by the patient.
That could be true, but to the extent that the patient...
Well, I mean, that's the modern world, isn't it?
It's the modern world to the extent that you're assuming that the patients do, in fact, misunderstand, and you're imposing upon them absolutely no obligation to find out the truth.
Okay.
If in fact,
where I'm taking you is where you try to jump to in your brief. You
sure.
want to turn the clock back, overturn Clark. That's really not necessary for you to prevail here. And what I'm suggesting to you, unlike what your brief argues, the Clark was an attempt to arrive at a more sensible solution that fits the real-life experiences of patients when they go to hospitals.
Well, I would respectfully disagree. I think that patients who go to hospitals in this day and age do not have the assumption that it seems to be most court decisions are assuming that they have, and that is that they're completely ignorant
to
the actual
situation. What do you mean
most
court decisions?
When you read the various decisions, there's the presumption that the public going to the hospital believes or has the misimpression that all of the physicians in the hospital are employed by the hospital. I don't see, and I couldn't find, and I looked for it, any objective...
Why wouldn't they have that opinion when they go to the hospital?
In part because it's not true.
But the patient doesn't know that. And the patient has no control over choosing a radiologist to read an X-ray.
I think the public is more informed than we give them credit for, and if they have ignorance of the situation, I don't believe that it's inappropriate to impose a duty on them to learn if it's important to them. You're assuming in part, I guess, that if they did know the actual relationship, that would somehow cause them to do something differently, and I don't know that that's true either.
Counsel, let me give you this example.
Sure.
People not just in Ohio, but all over the world seek out the Cleveland Clinic if they have a heart problem. Do you suppose they do that because they know the name of a specific doctor at the Cleveland Clinic or want to be treated by a specific doctor? Or is it because of the reputation of the Cleveland Clinic as being a premier place to go if you have a heart problem?
Two things. One, I don't think you can separate. I think the Cleveland Clinic has the reputation it does because of the quality of physician there. And two, the Cleveland Clinic is
sure
different. They employ all of their physicians, so they wouldn't have this independent contractor situation. And I realize I only have a couple of minutes left. I would like to reserve some time if I could.
You've taken all your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Rohrer.
May it please the court.
Counselor, why didn't you sue the two doctors?
Your Honor, I wish I could go back in time and do that, obviously. The reason it wasn't done in this case is really somewhat wrapped up with the exact things that you've been discussing. We had a bill that was from Knox Community Hospital. We had a radiology report that, although signed by Dr. Wall, states Knox Community Hospital. We had all the indicia of a radiologist who worked for Knox Community Hospital.
Well, you sued a bunch of other doctors, but you didn't sue these two doctors that you allege committed malpractice, that they missed the mass on the X-rays.
Nor did we sue any of the nurses or any other staff of the hospital. We did sue physicians who were selected.
Did you send 180-day letters to the other physicians?
We did, Your Honor.
But you didn't send the 180-day letters to the two
radiologists? We sent them to the hospital.
Yes, but yes. You didn't send them to the two radiologists.
They were not directed to the individual radiologists. They were directed to the hospital with reference to this care.
So the reason that no lawsuit was promulgated against these two physicians was because the statute had expired and the 180-day letter only extended to the hospital with which they maintained an independent contractor relationship, not an employee-employer relationship.
As we know now, or as I know now, yes, Your
so
Honor.
So are you asking this court then to extend Clark versus Southview or apply it, or what is the the relief that you're seeking, or what is a rule you're seeking this sure. court to promulgate?
As appellee, of course, we're just simply seeking that the Fifth District decision is upheld. It's our belief.
But does that involve, I guess I should rephrase my question, does that involve a change to the existing law in Clark versus Southview, or does it just require an application in a different sense?
Yes, Your Honor. The second of your statements, we believe this is not an extension of Clark. In fact, Clark itself, when it went to trial, did not involve the negligent physician or the
but
allegedly
the doctor,
negligent.
But the physicians had been sued.
Had been
the
sued.
The persons who were primarily allegedly liable for the misconduct were sued. Here they were not.
Had been that, sued,
that,
dismissed.
It confounds me, and I think it confounds others of us. Why sue the hospital only when the physicians, when your theory of liability has to run through the alleged malpractice of the physician?
Your Honor, once again, I think it wraps back into the same dilemma and confusion that gives rise to Clark. Obviously,
did you not have the ability to ascertain the identity of these radiologists?
We did, Your Honor.
You did, and you failed to name them. And now you are asking this court to extrapolate on Clark in order to remedy that error that was initially made.
No, I don't believe it's an extrapolation or anything else. Similarly, we don't name individual nurses normally,
well,
nor
counsel,
do we name individual staff
counsel,
physicians.
The individual nurses, you don't allege negligence here. You don't even allege negligence on the part of the x-ray technician who took the x-rays. And I mean, if this mass was that visible, presumably the x-ray technician may have noticed it as well. That would be an employee of the hospital. But the problem that your case sets up is you turn the hospital now into the primary obligor. And the doctors, so it creates an insurance problem. I mean, if we affirm the Court of Appeals, then why would you ever sue the negligent doctor and have to root around through all the files? You just sue the hospital for anything that happens there. Clark did involve suing the doctor as well as the hospital. I think that's what sets up, and it seems to me that this opinion is an extension way beyond. And again, trying to think through the law, I agree with the statement that I read from your opponent's brief. It's difficult to make all of these problems that can occur for patients fit into nice legal theories, and I think that's a problem for us in the law. We need to look at it from the eyes of a patient. I have difficulty understanding why the hospital should be primary unless the doctor who made the mistake, who has been given the responsibility of reading the report, whether it's an x-ray or whether it's something else, if it's wired to India or someplace where the hospital has somebody not licensed in Ohio rendering the report unknown to the patient, then it might make sense to say, if you enter into that kind of arrangement, the hospital's going to be primary because you can't effectively get to the physician. But I have a hard time understanding why the hospital should be primary here.
First of all, Your Honor, in regard to this specific setting, the hospital, through its contracts, has indemnity agreements and duty to defend agreements with radiologists all the time. It's a very common factor. I don't think that there's really anything changed by the, as far as the hospital is concerned, by the absence in name of the radiologist. Radiologists can still be compelled to testify. The radiologist still can be.
Did Knox have such an agreement that they were, their agreement with the radiologist was that they would assume all responsibility for mistakes of the radiologist?
I believe that the contracts, and a very standard contract between radiologists, emergency room corporations.
Well, we're not concerned with standard contracts. We're concerned with the contract in your case.
Your Honor, in this one, I will submit that I'm not sure at this time.
Your client have any idea, any indication? Ms. Sprader said that the bill was sent from the radiologist's company. Is that true? Did your client have any indication that these radiologists were independent contractors as opposed to employees of the hospital?
Your Honor, I know very well at least what Patricia Clark brought to us and had available to her. That included a hospital bill, which had a specific charge for the x-rays in question. She had ultimately a radiology report, which had Knox Community Hospital at the top that was signed by Dr. Wall. To our knowledge, through our discovery, I do not know of anything that identified Dr. Wall to Patricia Clark as being anything other than a person who worked at and worked for Knox Community Hospital, including the subsequent report, which is page 10 of the supplement filed by the appellant in this case. And going back to the court's question, I do believe that if we break down what is the difference with the radiologists here or not here, I don't see that it is any different than in a situation where you have an employer-employee relationship. In fact,
but they were independent contractors, weren't they?
Pardon me?
The physicians were independent contractors in this case.
Absolutely, but
so
with application
are you asking, are you asking us to blur the distinction between employer-employee or respondeat superior and independent contractor?
Not
I mean,
at all.
That would have ramifications in the construction industry and in manufacturing all over if we blur the distinction, wouldn't it?
No, I believe we're asking the court to apply Clark versus Southview, which specifically states that in certain instances where the hospital holds itself out as providing certain types of medical care, and in the absence of knowledge or notice on the part of the patient, then that formerly and truly an independent contractor is treated, and I'm quoting from the decision that Southview Hospital, here in Knox Community Hospital, is a stop from denying that the doctor was its employee. So in this setting, we're not trying to blur or eliminate independent contractor relationships vis-a-vis employer-employee, except in this setting, when Clark is the tenets of Clark are fulfilled, then you are in essence in the same setting. They can no longer deny their relationship based on that independent contractor relationship because they didn't give the patient a form that divulged the fact that before you have your radiology, we want you to acknowledge that this is going to be done by somebody here or now, as if we look at the website for Knox Community Hospital, they do outsource. 12 of their radiologists are in either Florida or Illinois, and they send it to them digitally.
Counselor, other than in a situation that gives rise to a suit, how does that matter to the patient, whether it's an independent contractor or the physician is a direct employee of the hospital?
As far as the patient is concerned, I don't think it matters one iota. They're, especially in this setting, they don't even know who the doctor is.
Exactly. So
they know who the hospital is.
All right. So, but we are concerned with the individual performance of two physicians who were independent contractors. And you just said that when the patient goes in to have the x-ray procedure at this hospital, matters not to them what the employer, employment, contractual, independent arrangement, whatever it is between the physician and the hospital, has no relevance to their treatment in the hospital.
What I meant by that, Your Honor, is what matters to them is that they're walking into here, Knox Community Hospital, and what that represents to them. And without any other notice, they have the right, and I think in this modern era, we know they do, in fact, assume that they are getting the full faith and credit of Knox Community Hospital unless told otherwise.
They're using equipment that is there for the purpose. You don't have this type of equipment on every street corner or every physician's office or whatever. There's a site where this equipment and where it's, the procedure is conducive to be administered.
Absolutely. In fact, people do know that there are just a small, limited number of centers where they can go, and one of their ways of choosing which center they feel they should go, other than their own doctor's advice, is, I know Knox Community Hospital. I've seen, whether it's their website or their advertisements.
But here you had a referral from a treating physician saying, you know, madam, this is, you need to go see this, get this procedure done, and here's the referral. And so the treating physician, who was involved in the case, correct?
Correct.
You know, that was the reliance here. Are you saying that the patient would have gone against the advice of her treating physician?
Actually, what she received was a prescription to receive an X-ray. She could have, if she felt it was a better facility, gone to another freestanding radiology or diagnosis. I don't think that her doctor told her, you have to go to Knox Community Hospital, told her, you need to have an X-ray. And as a result, being in that community, knowing Knox Community Hospital and how it holds itself out to the public, as being a quality facility, she went there. But I think she had the choice to go elsewhere, and that's really one of the tenets of Clark, that without other information provided, then the consumer has every reason to believe that when they're going into Knox Community Hospital, I think their current motto is that we are a team providing good medical care, that who she's seeing is part of the Knox Community Hospital team, and that Knox Community Hospital, unless told otherwise, stands behind that team. And I think that's the tenet of Clark. And we're not asking this court really to expand or change it. The doctors, their insurance through either standard common law indemnity or contractual indemnity can still have their insurance utilized to reduce or eliminate the hospital's financial exposure in this case. So it's
presumably really, if you would have included the physicians, but we don't have that here, and we had that in Clark.
I think that's a distinction that really doesn't matter for purposes of the type of liability that we're talking about
you,
here.
You believe, if I understood your last statement, you believe that had this suit gone forward and had a jury determined that there was negligence on the part of Dr. Wall and Dr. Schlesinger in failing to notice this mass, and since you only named the hospital, whatever award would have been made against the hospital, you believe that Dr. Wall and Dr. Schlesinger's medical malpractice insurers would indemnify the hospital?
I believe so,
Your Honor. Would be obligated to indemnify the hospital.
And in fact, most hospitals, and I believe this hospital as well, to have privileges, they require a certain level of insurance of the doctors in order to have staff privileges.
But wouldn't those insurance companies say, you blew the statute of limitations on our docs, so we don't have to pay anybody anything?
Well, as to the plaintiff, I think that's correct. I think as to an indemnity claim, whether it be either common law or contractual, I don't believe that's the case, Your Honor.
Okay.
I think that the hospital does have the ability, and in fact, it's
because that's a troubling aspect to this is that you have, by not naming them, somehow shifted the insurance outcome at the end of the day if your client is successful.
And I understand that as being the concern, and it's our position, Your Honor, that that's not in fact the case based on both contractual and common law indemnity principles, that if the doctor, in fact, was the cause of the hospital making payment, that they can seek either by bringing them in at the time of the suit or after and to recover the amount up to the limits of their insurance, or for that matter, beyond.
Well, I'm interested in that issue also that Justice Piper just raised. Let's assume there's no contract of indemnity in the record here. Should we be concerned, this is common law, so we don't have a statute to prohibit us, should we be concerned about the fact that an affirmance of the Court of Appeals opinion here, essentially, it seems to me, would make hospitals insurers of all of those who use their facilities to render treatment to patients, and if they become insurers, that's their legal status. Obviously, their insurance rates will increase, and the insurance, we know, gets passed along to patients, or consumers, not just patients. Should we be concerned about that, or is that something about which we should not pay any attention?
Well, certainly you should be concerned, but it is our position, Your Honor, that need for concern is resolved by the fact that we still must prove negligence, number one. That's still a tenet. This does not create strict liability, as has been alleged. There still must be underlying negligence. Number two, we still have to prove the tenets of Clark. In other words, this could be readily avoided by hospitals by divulging the information at the appropriate time, either in how they hold themselves out to the public or in the forms that they have the patients review and sign before, especially with a procedure, an elective procedure like this, so that they're well aware. So they have the ability to avoid that insurance. Thirdly, through contract and through, I believe, the common law, they can avoid that exposure as well, because even if they are held to be liable, they can pass that responsibility on to the physician and the insurer of that physician. And I think it's a very standard, and I apologize for not knowing specifically here, but it is a very standard contract for, here we have a contracted corporation, or for that matter for privileges, that the physician or the corporation have a certain amount of insurance, and that insurance be primary as to damages resulting from the negligence of that corporation or its physicians. And so therefore, although the concern is real, we believe that concern is addressed by the fact that you still must prove the legal tenets of the claim, and number two, that even if the hospital is then found liable because of, through Clark, that the doctor's insurance, just as it would be if he was named individually, will still provide the primary coverage.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Murphy. Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Frater, you saved about 2.5 minutes of your time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Question. Mr. O'Rourke says that the hospitals can easily protect themselves here by simply notifying the patients that the doctors or the technicians and so forth who are going to be responsible for their care are not employees of the hospital. What's your response?
My response is, if you look, the legislature at one point tried to establish a way of doing that. That was stricken. There was discussion in Clark v. Southview that, in fact, once you come to the emergency department, even big, huge neon signs are not going to be sufficient because the point of meaningful notification has passed. I'm not sure that there is anything that has been discussed or developed that would provide a hospital a means to accomplish simple notice.
Simply informing the patient before the procedure that we're going to have independent contractors, not employees of the hospital, read your x-rays. Would that be sufficient?
It has not been held that type of a notification would be sufficient. I think the concern would be...
Well, Clark certainly didn't say that.
Clark implied that it might not be enough in an emergency room setting. It did not address a different setting as in a routine x-ray where that might be amenable.
Are you urging that Clark be overruled? To give you the relief that you're requesting in this case, is it necessary that Clark be overruled?
For the specific relief in this case, I don't think it is necessary, given the way the Fifth District reached its decision and purported to rely upon Clark. I have concerns that the Clark decision itself may be interpreted to reach this result, but I think this court can, under the strict issue, make a legal conclusion and clear up the law for Ohio and simply say, to the extent that anyone believes that Clark establishes primary liability and that you can basically achieve vicarious liability without having the tortfeasor present, that is incorrect, and you actually need, as a matter of law, to have that tortfeasor present.
Counsel, you go on at great length about all the troubles that Clark has caused. They haven't bubbled up to us. And then you make an argument that is counterintuitive. You go into this lengthy discussion of physician med mal insurance problems, and try to lay that at the feet of Clark. And it would seem that Clark shifts some responsibility and therefore some insurance cost to hospitals.
And I
so if that is true, that should be a countervening weight on what happens to the cost of physicians' liability insurance. And then you suggest it's causing all this tension with doctors. It would seem to me all it's causing is hospitals be careful about what doctors they let practice there, and that would seem to be a good thing, wouldn't it?
Well, the problem is hospitals have such a limited ability to select out physicians. The physicians are entitled to practice in a hospital and to have privileges if they meet, you know, for example, if you are an obstetrician and you want to practice at a hospital that offers obstetrics, and there is no exclusive contract that prohibits it, you basically have to be licensed and have no egregious history of incompetence, and the hospital has to give you privileges. The ability of a hospital to say, no, we don't want to give you privileges, is extremely limited. They have to grant them, and then they're very limited in how they can revoke them, and they cannot control that physician. The point that I was making in the brief was that if we look at the insurance situation for Ohio hospitals, we've already seen in the past decade over, 32, 33 hospitals have left Ohio. In statistics maintained by the OHA, a large reason for that is financial reasons. And since Clark v. Southview, hospitals, almost without exception, are named in every case where there's malpractice alleged within its walls because they want to attach that extra level of potential recovery. So hospitals are being burdened with having to defend, sometimes settle, sometimes go to trial and even pursue it through that length, cases where they're simply the extra pocket, the excess carrier, basically, for the hospitals. That is having an effect on hospitals. Some of the insurance companies that insure hospitals are the same insurance companies that are insuring the physicians. So it's part of an overall problem. In this case, we're dealing with the hospital, and it is very directly impacting the hospitals and the care that citizens in Ohio are going to get, because we're losing the hospitals, we're losing the physicians, they have fewer places to go and practice.
You said we're losing the physicians. We are?
Yes.
I thought the Cincinnati Inquirer checked you all on that and discovered that we're not losing physicians in Ohio by looking at the one place you can look, and that is how many licensed physicians we have in Ohio.
Well, if they're just looking at numbers, I can't answer their statistics. I personally know that we have lost a number of highly qualified upper-end physicians. Those are the ones that we should be most interested in maintaining. They're leaving the state, they're leaving the practice. Whatever numbers the Inquirer found, it is happening.
Well, one of the doctors here left the practice, I think, didn't he?
The doctors in this case?
Yeah.
I'm not sure who you're referring to.
Schlesinger.
I think he's retired.
Yeah.
But I think that was just age-based.
You've used your time.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion.